What do you do when a moose is on the loose?
I watch, and it's painfully slow.
You take it inside to the hoose, eh?
The what?
The hoose. You put it on the hoose, and you drive
what
it to the hoose.
Is that?
I don't know.
When a moose is on the loose, you tie it to the back of a caboose.
The fuck are you guys talking about?
Which
and
is
then,
also attached to a hoose.
And then later you get loose, eh?
Hey,
with the moose. You get loose with that moose,
oh,
eh?
Oh, yeah, getting
oh,
jiggy
yeah.
with it.
Yeah, you start to dance on that. On the dance floor.
Me and Robbie here, we like to get jiggy with it,
yeah,
don't you
yeah.
know?
Yeah, and Alberta, eh? Ride our tractor
yeah.
and shit, eh?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm getting dickered. Oh, you want to come out and get dickered,
oh,
eh?
Oh, hey.
Fucking dickered.
How about a nice frosty beverage?
Oh, a nice frosty coffee from Tim Hart.
A coffee can't be frosty. It can be frothy, but it can't be frosty.
That's what I said, eh?
Oh,
it's my Canadian accent.
Look at this unimpressed hoser.
Oh, fuck you and your... And the cow you rode in on to Canada, eh?
Hey.
You fucking get dickered, eh?
Hey, you know where Moose Jaw is? About 7 feet from the moose's butt.
Hey,
hey, hey.
That's a long fucking moose, eh?
Is
seven
that,
feet
I don't
long?
Know how big is a moose.
You don't even know how big a fucking moose is, eh? Oh, you're stupid.
Welcome to the Geek Stampede Comics Roundup for the week of Wednesday, July 10th. I'm Joey G.
Hi, Joey.
We've got Robbie G in the house.
Hi.
And Ryan Heff in the heezy.
Hi.
Ryan, get out of that heezy. Come inside the house. We're recording in the house. Why are you in that heezy?
Jump around.
It's my
Jump
heezy
around.
Chair.
House of Pain.
House of Pain. Also, Everclear.
Everlast.
What did I say?
No, Everclear.
Which one's the band that's...
Everlast was the rap
yeah.
band. Everclear was the one who swam out past the breakers and watched the world die.
Watch the world die and it...
It's a good song. Santa Monica.
I like that other one that's like, so much for the afterglow.
So much for the afterglow.
I don't know.
I think the guy from Everclear has Powerpuff Girls tattoos.
Yeah.
That is cool.
Isn't it though? Well, anyway, welcome to the show. We're going to talk about the releases in comics for this week. Ryan, I don't know what your pick is. You should point to it so I don't mention it. Oh, I know what it is. Never mind.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Come
on
now. 1-800, come on now. So, what we're going to do, we're going to break it down for you. Break it down for you, fellas. So, I guess if we're going to be breaking shit down off the heezy fo sheezy.
Are we going to be rapping today? My name is Ryan, and I don't like to boast, but my favorite breakfast is French toast.
Breakfast?
It's the cool way to say it.
Oh.
But how good was that? Off the top of my head.
That was
off,
so
sorry,
much.
Off the top of my head.
So much better than I ever thought you capable.
Oh. Sometimes I put syrup on my French toast and then a boat.
Boys, it's time to get real. Ryan, Rob, are we going to party tonight?
Yo, yeah.
All right, let's do it.
Tonight.
Every night.
Every night.
I read a comic book. It was from Marvel Comics.
Yay.
It was called The Superior Spider-Man number 13. It was a story by Dan Slott and a script by Christos Gage. It was penciled by Giuseppe Camuncoli. It had a couple of inkers named John Dale and Terry Pallett. And Antonio Fabella colored it. And Mr. Chris Eliopoulos lettered it. And he letters every book in the world, apparently.
He really
letters
does.
A lot of Marvel books.
Doesn't Todd Klein letter like every other book in the world?
He letters a lot of books, too. Chris Eliopoulos letters a lot of books. And he has his own children's comic called Cowboy, which is really good. The second one comes out this September, I think. Anywho, this issue... ends this the Spider Slayer story on the raft.
Ah, I found one that he doesn't do.
Alright. So, yeah, I mean, this was a pretty good one, right? Like, all the complaints I had about issue 2, which were barely complaints, they were just sort of like, you know, not much happened, nothing, because it was totally just like the middle part of a 3-part story.
Yeah.
This one has lots of stuff that happened, like changing the status quo, because the status is not quo.
He, like, blackmails J. Jonah Jameson, which I
that
really
cool.
enjoyed. And it shows a really sinister side to him, too, which
yeah.
which I also really like.
The sinister Spider-Man.
You know what bugs me about it, though, is that they don't put Christos Gage's name on the front cover, right?
Yeah, that's really weird.
How he scripts it, but he doesn't get it.
Fucking Marvel.
They can call him Chris Knows Credit.
But it looked, but all the Spider Slayer
good
stuff
joke.
Was really cool. And, like, yeah, it was dark. We had some stuff go down. Spidey was killing, was dropping bitches, capping them.
He's capping them.
Captain American.
I like Spider-Man, but the status quo changes every 3 issues.
I agree. That is one thing
it's,
that
it's
happens in Spider-Man comics a lot.
But
the,
in fairness,
status quo a
I'd
lot.
Rather a lot happen than nothing. So, yeah. I mean.
And in next issue, we're going to be seeing the new Spider-Man costume, which would be more cool if we hadn't already seen it, but what are you going to do?
Had we already seen it? When did we already see it?
Well, when this cover was solicited.
Oh.
So we've already seen this cover.
I didn't even notice.
It's a cool cover. I mean, I like that costume. It looks cool. Spider-Man has a rich history.
What is he building at the... What's he building?
What's he building on there?
Sentinel.
I wonder what he's building there. I don't know.
I hope that this concept of him on the island,
raft. Yeah.
On the raft called Spider Island 2 is something that stays in the mythology for a while. I thought that was a really clever idea.
I like that, yeah.
Spider Island 2. I'm going to reference myself. Dance
I mean, line. You can see on his Computron what he looks like he's making. It looks like some kind of...
It looks
Muppet.
Like he's playing Monkey Island 2.
Monkey
LeChuck's
Island.
Revenge.
I like that game. But yeah, no. As always, this book continues to be solid. I did not enjoy this whole arc as much as I've enjoyed previous arcs, but still,
me neither.
I still liked it. I particularly liked the Lizard's participation. Kurt Connors is in complete control, but he's trapped in the Lizard's form. So he's all everyone's like, "Oh, he's feral and evil," and he's just like, "No, I'm a scientist."
I really loved that it was totally the. I've defeated the bad guy. Everyone can get back to the to what they were doing. Just kidding. Da, 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 da. That last time when the bad guy comes back up and
Michael Myers style.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking.
The night he came home.
I thought it was funny how Spider Slayer's like big ultimate final plan was just the same. I thought it was funny.
The exact same plan. The
same Doc Ock plan.
Cool.
I thought it was a funny.
I did like that. Yeah.
Giuseppe Kevin Cooley drawing the Lizard is so cool.
I know, right? And I like the way Giuseppe Kevin Cooley draws Jonah.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the same.
Pretty
thing
much like
that
the way he draws
like.
Everything in this book. Like
I like the way that he draws everything.
This issue looks better than most Kevin Foley Spider-Mans, and they always look good. It looks really good.
I like the way he drew this two-page Infinity splash that ruins every book.
Yeah, I hate double-page splash. And
why do you, I don't see why you guys hate it so much. I just don't care.
Because it completely interrupts. Same with any ad, really. Yeah. It interrupts the flow of a comic. Like if you read East of West or Fatal, and it's like there's no pause, there's no distraction. The comic flows perfectly, and then you get into the middle of the story or a fight scene, and it just completely ruins any momentum that the comic had.
I'm always good at tuning it out. It doesn't seem to bug me that much.
Some of the demons from Fatal do have paws.
Jesus. Holy.
Because he said paws.
Holy moly.
Ryan's on top of his game, which means he's still
at the
bottom. The
bottom of the
game.
Barrel, but the top of his game. Fortune favors the bold, though, and you went out. We went all in.
Mm-hmm. Fortune favors the brave.
No, it's the bold. It's
yeah, but last night in Pacific Rim...
That's true, he did say that.
No, so,
at one point he said Fortune favors the brave, and I was just like,
spoilers,
yeah,
spoilers,
right?
Spoilers,
and the bold.
Spoilers.
I'm going to see it tomorrow night if you want to come.
Possibly. I'll let you know.
It's really, really, really
I'm going
cool.
with Scott and Brett at like 7:20.
Oh, but I fucking hate Brett.
Hope he's listening. Fuck you, Brett.
I hope
you love you.
And ask that damn girl out, Jesus.
Come on now.
Come on now. Yep, 1-800, come on now.
Come on now.
I got a boombox? Okay, Robbie
I'm
G.
the only one... I'm going to talk about both of these books at the same time.
Can I look at the one on top while you're talking about them?
It was... Yes. It was almost my favorite this week.
Almost? It was the iFanboy pick of the week I saw.
So, Trinity War, Part 1, with Justice League number 22, with pencils by Ivan Reis and Jeff Johns scripting. So all the mediocrity that had been leading up in the past, like, 6 months in the three Justice League titles actually comes to a head. And really, all the lead up wasn't even necessary. Like
I love that the tarot card with Billy Batson on
says
it.
The boy.
Yeah, but the card literally has Captain Marvel and Billy Batson. It's not like this represents Captain. It's literally Billy Batson.
No, go
and
through
Captain
all
Marvel.
The tarot cards.
Are they all characters? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Those are some very specific. Yeah. Wow. Those are really specific tarot cards. Is that
Madame Xanadu has a Justice League deck.
Nice.
I guess I think her tarot cards are like based on the memories that she's accessing in that sequence.
Ivan Reis is awesome.
Ivan
God
Reis is
damn.
One of the best artists ever. The three connecting covers for Justice League of America, and Justice League Dark. I've seen the image like 1,000 times now, and it's still just so beautiful to look at. I really want it as a poster. Actually.
DC Comics always have a lot of great covers. Oh. Unfortunately, that's where the greatness ends usually for me.
I've been pissing and shitting and puking and farting and sneezing all over DC Comics for the past couple of weeks. And I still love DC, but this really, really, like this week made me super happy for DC. This was actually a really great beginning to an event. It's Jeff Johns writing what makes me love Jeff Johns, like writing Blackest Night style and writing Infinite Crisis style, like crazy heavy hitters versus all the D-list characters as well, and usually about 30 or 40 of them on a page at once, all beating the shit out of each other, or beating the shit out of a bunch of villains. And in this case, they all start to beat up each other. With kind of a similar catalyst to the Kittle, to the catalyst in Civil War, similar, but different enough where I didn't... Bender.
Are you seriously going to eat your blanket again every fucking week of this shit? You're so stupid. Stop it. Lay down.
But the catalyst is really interesting. It's a really cool reveal towards the end that actually sparks this war. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because the first five issues or four issues or whatever of Justice League of America are all kind of posturing to set up the secret society, and then also posturing to set up Dr. Light at the very end of the last issue. And I won't spoil... Well, whatever. Spoiler. Dr. Light is basically... was set up in the past couple issues of Justice League of America to be cannon fodder for this first issue of...
Geoff Johns always does that.
Trinity War, yeah.
He picks like his D-list villain and uses him as cannon fodder.
And what happens is... what he does with Superman, I actually really enjoyed. And I think he does it in a way that it is going to cause like outrage, and people are going to freak out and be like, what? And be all panicked by it. But ultimately, the way that he deals with it is so safe.
He's mind controlled, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. It's super safe. So it didn't make the story tame. I just felt that it made the story make sense. Because basically Superman goes crazy and kills Dr. Light, like, in front of everybody.
Superman does?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's being mind-controlled by Pandora's box.
Yeah,
because I was going to be like, see, fuck you guys, he does kill people.
That's the whole thing. The whole catalyst for this huge war between three armies now is because Superman doesn't kill people. And the whole Pandora comes to Superman with this box because he's supposed to be the person with no evil in him or something. And he's supposed to be able to access this box that'll cancel out the seven deadly sins or whatever. But somehow Superman, when he touches
it, blew it.
Yeah, he blew it. But then at the end, it kind of revealed he blew this box. He blew the box, bro.
Blew it on the
He did.
And he kind of reveals like he was being mind controlled throughout it. And then it also reveals a character of the Secret Six at the or the Secret Society at the very end who also it shows like the tarot card with his image on it and says the hero. And it's,
that's what I'm confused about because the outsider is Alfred. In original DC continuity, the character of the Outsider is Alfred Pennyworth after... like it's like a... I don't remember if it's a Golden Age or a Silver Age story, but there's a whole storyline where Alfred was dead. Everyone thought he was dead, but he actually... something had happened and he'd become this crazy villain, the Outsider. So that was the... Well, and that's what he looks like, kind of like this. So I'm just like...
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. So I'm just curious...
It's the start of a really great event so far. It's the first issue... that'll be, I think it's only like five or six issues. I'm really, really happy with it. I was so happy when it came out. Like, it totally makes me feel the way that I felt when I was reading Blackest Night for the first time when I was reading Infinite Crisis. Like, it's a big event heralding all
Bender,
my favorite
stop
characters.
It.
Fucking dick dog. Dick dog.
Uh-oh. Keep going.
Oh. Heralding all my favorite characters.
No, get back in your kennel, fuckhead. Hey! Bender!
Ryan!
Bender!
Bender, you're in trouble, buddy.
March, boy. Move. Kennel.
Kennel, I said.
You can't
be out here in the pod. Oh, he's just so bummed.
The thing that
he gets a treat. He's good.
It just makes me sad because his face always looks sad.
Well, because he's mildly retarded.
All of the sadness in the world is in the eyes of a dog.
I think it's just because his jowls make him always look like he's pouting. So it's like, oh, even when he's happy, he's pouty.
There were a couple sequences. There were a couple sequences in this first issue that just made my day reading it. First, when Shazam is in Kandak, basically he takes the ashes of Black Adam to Kandak to give it a proper burial, and the Justice League have to rush there because he doesn't have authorization or pass those lines, and like, so Superman beats the crap out of Shazam, and then Shazam gets all pissed off and punches him in the face, and Superman flies away into this ravine, and he just goes, I just knocked down Superman, and then with this face of pure glee going, I just knocked down Superman, and then he gets the shit kicked out of him. But it's like, it's such a funny sequence. And then also these double page spreads that Ivan Reis does are just fucking gorgeous. Like, my favorite part of the book shows Martian Manhunter morphing, as he's about to destroy this, like, possessed Superman, while in the background, just all hell is breaking loose in Kandak, and then you also see all of Madame Xanadu's tarot cards just being set on fire by the Outsider or whatever. Yeah, it was very... It was so much fun. I'm really, really excited for this event now. I'm glad that it actually... I went into it just like, well, here this goes. I haven't really cared about Justice League or Justice League of America in a while, so hopefully this is good. And it was really, really good. It also shows the question for the first time, except the question says the dumbest thing. Question's only line was just, who is the evil behind the evil? Which I thought was a stupid line.
That's trying to be who watches the Watchmen thing.
Exactly. Like. And then there was also a bit that made me laugh where the Phantom Stranger is in it. It's these three panels of Pandora, Phantom Stranger, and the Question. The Question goes, what is the question I must answer next? To himself, apparently. And Pandora is saying that she must open this box to blah, blah, blah. It's not talking about a vagina.
I can't.
The worst, but this part made me laugh, is the Phantom Stranger, like, for some reason in front of the Kent's graves, speaking out loud to himself, going, it's time the Phantom Stranger got involved.
The Phantom Stranger has historically always done that. Like, it's, he's always so goofy, provided like an external monologue of things like that, which is part of what makes him so charming. But
in this context, it wasn't charming. It was just goofy.
It sounds like Stan Lee wrote.
But I'm of the opinion that DC is at its best when it's charmingly goofy, and when it's not.
Oh,
goofy,
I love this.
It's not good.
Charmingly goofy is fucking Shazam punching out Superman, and then his eyes are like glazing over with just like pure joy, going, "This is so exciting!"
So. Here's the answer to my questions about Outsider. This version of the Outsider, the one who's been in Justice League of America, is the same shitty version of the Outsider they created for Flashpoint, where his name is Michael Desai and he's not. They just have the same name because apparently DC can't create a new character. They have to take an old character and make him a different character. So, yeah, this version of, assuming it's the same one, this version of the Outsider is Michael Desai. So,
anyway, this was a really great issue. I loved it, and I'm very excited for the next installment of it. Actually, I'm happy that it'll be coming out three times a month in three different books. But it was almost my pick of the week, and I'll talk about this one.
Almost,
we're going to talk about them both at the same time, but I decided not to because Joey had an argument with his dog, and I went all fanboy about Trinity War. So Rob's quiet now.
Can I look at that other comic while you're quiet?
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
Can I talk while you're quiet?
No.
Can I talk
this
while you're quiet?
This podcast is over. Go ahead, buddy.
I'm going to talk about it.
Sorry.
I don't like how many splash pages are in these books.
Yeah. There's not that many splash pages. It's mostly just.
But there's a couple of big ones where it's like. Yeah, but it's more like this is something that could be achieved in like one. It used to be splash pages were reserved for like.
Big
dramatic moments and not like four times per issue. And I'm not saying they don't look amazing because they totally do, but it's like this is something that could have been achieved in a panel and you could have crammed a lot more story into this book. But
there's a lot of story in the issue that you're flipping out of, though. Flipping through.
That's good.
Joey's flipping through Superman Unchained.
Cool. Anyways, go ahead, Ryan.
No longer chained.
I'm going to talk about a book not from Marvel Comics, which is weird because
that's all I talk about. From Boom Studios, in fact.
Boom.
Six Gun Gorilla from Simon Spurrier and Jeff Stokely.
Ah, it's a fun book.
This book was cool because we got to meet the gorilla a little more.
The only problem I had with the first issue was the gorilla was, are you eating fluff? Do you want to shit forever? Why do you do these things?
Well, I'd hopefully like to shit forever. Because if one day I magically stop shitting, I mean, I'm going to feel really bad.
If you could not shit, but it wouldn't have any adverse health effects, would you be into that? Or would you miss shitting?
I would miss shitting.
You would?
I love shitting.
I feel like I miss
taking
shitting.
A nice shit feels good.
No, yeah. Just that.
On the
that however long I'm in there is that.
That's your
like,
time.
It's that Zen moment.
And no one can take it away
perfection.
From you. Unless you don't have to poop anymore.
Yeah.
Then it can be taken. But I don't think that's possible. Anyway,
I'll
six
stay in there for 2 hours. I don't care.
Smoking cigars.
Yeah.
Wearing
tapes. A hat and a scarf.
The only thing I will say, though, this cover fucking drives me nuts. Look at
Why?
Her dress.
Dude, Ramon Perez is one of my favorite artists.
Everything about this cover is great, except for that. It looks so fucking weird.
It's just the way it's colored. It's stylistic.
Yeah.
Is it?
It
seems like it's
done
improperly.
Nothing else in the cover is like that.
I agree. It's an odd choice.
It just kind of looks like it's wrong.
Yeah,
it just, you know what? I think it might be a coloring error, because if you look,
looks like it's a mistake.
His foot is missing, too.
Yeah.
I think that they just fucked that up.
It's just a mistake.
That's weird.
It drove me nuts when I first looked
at it. I didn't notice it until just now. Thanks for yanting that for me, but you're right. And I love Ramon Perez. Who colored this cover, I wonder?
Probably.
Maybe it was the same colorist, Andre May. Anyway.
Yeah. Anyways, this book was neat. I don't really have much to say about the bear, and I really like this book.
Does he smoke cigars?
The gorilla does, yeah.
Sweet.
The gorilla is everything I want to be.
You want to be a gorilla with a cool cape?
With six guns.
And you can be that.
Hiding under his cape.
There was some really fun dialogue between the main character, whose name I can never remember because I don't think he even has a name, and the gorilla.
And Dora? Or Six Gun Gorilla himself. I also like Dora. Madam, the whorehouse lady.
The prostatoot.
Bless you. Prostatoot. Mm-hmm. I have a prostatoot.
That's strange.
I like the panel of the Six Gun Gorilla saying fewer than 12, shooting his guns, and it just says, doom, 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 doom.
The gorilla rips the head off of the guy
I just like the fact that all hope lies in Boom. Mm-hmm.
I like a lot of the books that are coming out from Boom right now.
There's a
Suicide
there's something
Risk
else
is really that, good. There's a Sons of Anarchy book which I might read.
They just merged with Archaea Studios.
They're making a movie for Two Guns as well.
Yeah, Three Guns is the sequel to the film Two Guns.
There's another Max Bemis project that they haven't announced, but he's totally doing another one with Boom. At post-Polarity. I never talked about Polarity on this show, but Polarity was really cool. And Suicide Risk is great. I should be reading Six. Is this a miniseries?
Yeah, I think it's 8 issues.
Six
issues.
And then this Damon.
Oh my god. What is wrong with you? You are ruining this podcast, Bender. I'm going to have to kill you. Lay down. Worst dog.
Anyways, this is a cool. This was a good book with a cool ending. With this basically like Capitol building being towed behind this group of rebellion fighters at the end with the hooker girl saying more than 12.
Hooker girl.
After the gorilla just like fucks right off, jumps on this weird like bantha looking thing and fucks
bantha
off.
Bantha poodoo. I wish that vehicles were just banthas.
Banthas and bats,
could,
man.
Like,
banthas
and bats. Ride a bantha to work every day.
Look, there's bantha tracks, Gatterfee sticks. Banthas. I've never heard of them hitting
poodoo.
The big before.
Bantha poodoo.
Leave it.
Sad people will be back, and in greater numbers.
One of my students today was talking about how much he loves Star Wars and how much he really likes Dark Small.
I'll fight that kid.
He's like fucking five.
Well, then I'll win.
And then he was like, my other favorites are the guys with the who like pilot the AT-ATs. I'm like, your favorite characters in Star Wars are the guys who pilot
who
the
drive
AT-AT?
The
AT. He's
right.
Like, yeah, I've got them in Lego. I'm like, you're the best.
I like General Veers as well, but he pilots.
He totally said that guy's name.
Did he actually?
Yes, he did.
But did he say like
General
Veers?
General Nadeers.
He's really young and he talks like this. And I was like, hey, what were you doing? This past week, buddy. I went to the skate park. What'd you do? Scooter.
The fucking kid.
You scootered at the skate park? Yeah. Where? Okotoks. Like, oh, you scootered at the skate park in Okotoks. Yeah, there were no big kids. I did a jump. And he speaks so matter-of-factly just like that.
Our one friend who always goes to the skate park in Okotoks, Mango, he's like waging a war against scooter kids.
Yeah, that's
there's
what,
so many of them at the skate park. It's weird.
Yeah, that's
there's
what.
Like
the,
40 of them.
Well, okay. To be fair, Spango is a fucking adult.
Yeah,
and he's in.
This is a guy in his 20s who's hanging out at a skate park.
Yeah,
the tiny skate park in Okotoks.
I'm gonna be picking if you're over
when you can drive for 20 minutes and go to Millennium,
or you could just be an adult and not go to a skate park at 25 for children.
What? Well, the Okotoks one isn't necessarily just for children. Just
hey, Joey, skateboarding is not a crime.
Actually, it is.
Haven't you read those shirts?
If skateboarding wasn't a crime, they wouldn't have to make t-shirts and bumper stickers claiming that it's not.
That's true.
Just
heroin
embrace.
Is not a crime.
Just embrace.
I bet you anything, though, that our friend who bitches out the scooter kids, one of those is one of my students.
Oh, probably.
And he's all like, go back to Hannah Alberti. Get your scooter. Get your moose on your scooter.
In fairness, though, I have a 4-year-old cousin, and she knows it's Darth Maul. So fuck your student.
I have, actually.
No, oh, God.
I got fired.
Not
so,
that one.
They're totally doing a Phantom X Max miniseries. Andrew Hope is writing it, and Francesco's doing the covers.
I like Phantom X.
Yeah, I like Phantom X a lot. He's a great character.
Why'd you marry him?
Graham Morrison character. And I'm going to totally buy this. I like Phantom X.
I like Francesco Francavilla.
He's the man, am I right?
Phantom X was
we'll see how much
from,
I like him later on.
He was created by
the
Grant
new
Morrison,
X-Men?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize
he's part of that Weapon Zero program.
Yeah, no, I read that. Yeah. I read that arc. I didn't realize that he created the character.
Wait, it's a Marvel miniseries?
It's Marvel Max.
Cool, I'll read it then, because it's Marvel.
It's Marvel
Actually,
Max.
I probably won't be, because I'm broke.
Bye. Okay. Alright, boys. I read a little comic book from Dark Horse Comics called Breath of Bones, Tale of the Golem, Steven Allis and Dave Wachter. I don't have a whole lot to say. This book is going to read great when all three issues are done as like one big story. But the way it's kind of broken up, like the last page of this issue is the first time we actually see the Golem. And it's only a three-issue miniseries.
Oh.
So, I mean, it's gorgeous to look at. And it's going to be... And beyond the Golem itself, it's just a really good war story and about, you know, people trying to stay out of the war and these villages in France and trying to hide an American soldier. So it's a really good comic. It's really, really good. But it's going to look... It's going to be really, really good when you read it all together as one big story.
Have they announced the new Steve Niles, Chris Mitten project?
No.
At Black
they
Mask?
Teased it again. They're just saying soon. In fact, there's an ad for it in the back of something that just says soon. Doesn't say what it's called or when it's coming out.
Sweet.
Yeah.
I haven't read any of Wasteland. Is it good?
Wasteland is that Anthony Johnston book, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
It's quite good.
Does that. What would I have, what would I have known Mitten from?
I used to talk about him a lot when he was doing 30 Days of Night
right.
with Steve Niles.
Right. So I don't think I've actually read any books that he's illustrated.
Perhaps not.
Because I haven't read any 30 Days.
And I'll just hit another book then, since we're
hit it.
Since I had nothing left to say about Breath of Bones, apart from that it's quite good, and I'd highly recommend it. Godzilla number 13. This is the last issue of Dwayne Swarzynski and Simon Gaines' run. It's been an excellent story. You know, Monster X and King Ghidorah have like fused to become...
King Ghidorah, the Explorer.
Have been fused to form Kaiser Ghidorah.
I watched that show.
Who's like a big three-headed, two-tailed, crazy hella mecha dragon. And so Godzilla and Rodan fight him.
Rodan!
In his jungle bag.
I wish we had a friend named Dan so we could call him Rodan.
You can call me Rodan if you want.
I'll call you Jodan.
But yeah, it was a very satisfying conclusion.
You're wearing a Godzilla
really
t-shirt
right
now. And a Cthulhu t-shirt.
Yeah, they're fighting each other in my t-shirt. Look at that cool wraparound cover. Isn't that cool?
What a beautiful cover.
Godzilla hanging out with a... nuclear
problem. Who's taking over the book after these two?
It's relaunching as Godzilla Rulers of the Earth, which actually started a few weeks ago, but I haven't read the first issue yet because it hasn't arrived for me. But it's Chris Mowry and Matt Frank, who have done other Godzilla comics. But yeah, the teaser in the back says the War of Dominance begins, and it's got Gigan on the front page, so that's cool.
Apparently the War of Dominance begins, it's just like the dog whisperer.
It's all about the calm, assertive energy. But yeah, I mean, highly recommend picking up the two trades of this run. It was possibly three trades. I'm not sure how they're collecting it, but it was just really cool. Godzilla. They brought in a lot of the cool characters. They had, you know, Mechagodzilla was there, Mothra, Rodan, King Ghidorah, all that good stuff. Ghidorah was there, so lots of fun. And
like fun.
Simon Gaines is fantastic. Like, I just want him to do more stuff that I can read with my face.
With your face.
And I don't want to sound like a big shot or nothing, but both Dwayne Swarzynski and Simon Gaines tweeted at me last night when I said I liked their books.
Oh
so
my god.
Go ahead and touch my arm.
Can I touch your arm?
It feels nice. Guess who I got retweeted by yesterday? Nail Yakupov.
Is he a hockey player?
Nail Yakupov. Yes, he's... I got retweeted by a 19-year-old kid, and it's like the apex of my life. Like, everything after this is just...
I've heard you use apex twice now today. That's a good word, man. That is a good word.
One time I climbed to the apex of a mountain. I'd never have. Fuck no.
Well, have you seen my
there wasn't
apex?
A car up
my
there.
I only have one peck. Would you
apex.
Like to see my apex? My apex.
I have apex and B-pex.
I'm not God.
I suffer from apex.
D-pex. That's
D-pex.
That's adorable.
I suffer from hemorrhoids.
Am I the only one reading Astro City at Vertigo Common?
You are, but I bet you it's great.
Oh my god.
It looks really cool.
It's one of my favorite series ever. The year, fucking idiot. The month that the first issue came out, last month, that was when I was really, really sick and I couldn't come to podcast. The first issue came out, that would have been my pick of the week.
Right.
And this was also almost my pick of the week, but I chose not to do it so that I could talk about it earlier because I wanted to talk about it in front of you cats.
All right.
So Kurt Busiek and Brett Anderson with Alex Ross covers.
You know what
just
I call
look
it?
At the Alex. Everyone,
I call
everyone.
Him Mr. Anderson.
Everyone, even the audience, look at the Alex Ross cover.
Mr. Anderson.
Yes. So this Anderson. Was like a. This was like a, if you've ever read Astro City, a lot of their stories, they do have arcs and they do have over.
Who built the arc?
Noah. They do have a lot of stories that actually last multiple issues. And the first issue actually sets up a really, really cool story involving this doorway into a parallel dimension where where this specific like king comes out of it and
the
all the honor
doors
guard.
To other worlds, man.
Yeah.
And the honor guard goes to greet it, and there's a lot of crazy stuff that happens in the first one. This one isn't really a follow-up to that story, although I'm sure that they're going to get back to it. This one is more in the vein of my favorite Astro City stories. Like, if you read Life in the Big City, the first trade of Astro City, it's six different issues, and all of them are just one-shots, like, just covering different, just life in the city. One of them is a guy who works in the newspaper. The first one is just about Samaritan, who is just the Superman analog. And they're all really cool one-and-done stories. This one was totally in that vein. It has to do with this girl who gets vetted through this weird hiring process and becomes an employee at basically the Honor Guard dispatch center. So all the millions and millions of calls.
And millions!
Is that a wrestling thing?
That's The Rock, yeah.
Okay. Millions of calls that come in every day have to be kind of sorted through in order of importance. Like people phoning for cats stuck in trees. The Honor Guard is busy. They don't need to be doing that. Or any other business that could be handled by local police forces or whatever. So they it's just a dispatch center, and you have to learn how to actually filter through all the information and what's important and what's not.
Huh.
So, and it's like no one really seems to write like the joy and wonder and happiness about like superheroes and that concept like Kurt Busiek does. Grant Morrison does it in a beautiful way as well, but Kurt Busiek, you can tell he's the way he approaches it, he's like, yeah, Frank Miller's done all the dark stuff and Alan Moore has really like stripped down all the superhero archetypes, and that's what Watchmen was. So how about I just put them all back together? And Astro City is that. It's a glorification of, like, wouldn't it be awesome if humans were at this stage where it was just perfection and everyone was happy and everyone lived harmoniously, and, like, apart from, you know, supervillains and crazy people showing up every once in a while. But he really embraces that wonder in superhero comics that just are an absolute joy to read. I love them. And, like, and this particular issue, as I said, again, is a really cool one and done. At the well, never mind. Oops. No, it's kind of written in that vein. And then the last page kind of sets off this event that I think will be finished in. I think it'll just be like a two issue thing. Then they're going back to the doors. What's a door song?
This is the end.
Thank you. I was expecting you to start singing.
My own through to the other friend. The end.
But immediately you
come
have...
on, baby, light my fire.
Did I tell you when I saw the doors?
You saw D21C,
yeah,
you?
Yeah,
yeah.
I saw D12.
Fucking awful.
I think I'll manipulate it. I think I'll manipulate it.
But this is, I think, one of the, like, is such a get for Vertigo Comics too. Because Joey's been reading comics for a long time. Like you, and although you haven't read any Astro City, you know about Astro City. Like, it's been around for 20 years as a series. This is like the 61st actual issue, even though it's the second in this volume for Vertigo Comics. And I think it's one of the best series running in comics. It makes me so happy to read. It's so brilliant. The way that Kurt Busiek fully imagines this crazy world and crazy universe, and the way that he writes really empathetic and lovable and relatable characters is almost unparalleled. Like, the main character in this particular issue, I think her name is Melina. I can't quite remember. Morella,
like from Mortal
sorry.
Kombat?
No! Her name is Morella. You have so much affection for her in this universe the second that it starts up and the second that you start reading her. Experience working at this call center. And also, meanwhile, there's like 7 or 8 different encounters that you get to read of the Honor Guard just beating the crap out of supervillains, and they all have the biggest grins on their faces, like with beautiful art by Brett Anderson. Like this little bit here where they're beating up Lord Volcanus, and I don't know. Astro City is one of my favorite series, and I'm really glad it's back. I'm really glad that it's at Vertigo too, and I hope it stays there for a really long time. There's also a really cool letter column in the back where Kurt Busiek just kind of waxes poetically about how much he loves superheroes.
I like them too.
I think you like Astro City a lot, actually.
Right? It looks interesting.
It's beautiful. It's actually incredible. I think you should just get you can get the first trade from, well, it was originally like Wildstormer or something, but it's I think reissued by Image or whatever. You can get the first one, Life in the Big City, for like $15. It's incredible. Yeah, it was done in 94.
Really?
Yeah. Cool.
It's amazing. I love Astro City.
Off topic, but there's a thread on Reddit right now, on the Ask Reddit forum, that is literally just says, Juggalos of Reddit, comma, why, question mark. Like, I almost want to click on that to see if any Juggalos were like, let me explain it to you. It's like magnets. Juggalos, man. How do they work?
Why don't you click on it? Let's see.
Because it's podcast.
Reddit, man. How does it work? Whoop. That joke will never stop being funny.
I totally agree. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the police.
What?
Whoop.
Was this the first Ryan Kelly issue of Star Wars? Yes, it was. God. I'm not reading Star Wars anymore. I love Ryan
Kelly. I didn't read it yet.
I'm surprised you didn't read it first. Ryan Kelly was working on...
What did he do?
Saucer Country.
There we go.
Done a bunch of stuff with Brian Wood. He did... God damn. He did one of the arcs of Northlanders with Brian Wood. He did Local with Brian Wood. He did... What else did he do? He's Funrama at Twitter. He's one of my favorite artists.
Really?
Oh, I love Ryan Kelly. He's
great.
Does it
look cool? I haven't read it yet.
So far it looks pretty cool. I love Ryan Kelly faces. Like, the way that he draws faces. I actually just love that. It's so cartoony and, like... And
it's cool. I like
but it still looks like Luke.
Yeah, it totally still looks like... I just love Ryan Kelly. He's so great.
Although I really liked Carlos DeAnda.
Carlos DeAnda was perfect for this book.
Was the best. Really, really, like, excelled in the space battles.
I only got the first six, and I dropped it. I'm sorry.
We're so sad.
I dropped it because I made a big call on my pull list, and I'm probably going to end up getting the rest of these in trade, but anyway.
Well, I'm going to talk about a book that I just read.
Oh, you just finished it?
I just finished it right now.
While gushing over Astro
City. Yes. It took me a while to read it because I'm a slow retard.
You're a retard?
A slow retard, yes. Joel, guys.
Would you like fries with that? You want fries with that? You want a shamrock cake?
Jesus.
You want sauce with your McNuggets?
McNuggets?
I ate those today.
Sweet and sandwich sauce and barbecue sauce and hot McRib is back!
You do it well.
Thank you.
You do it well. The McRib, I should say.
Yeah, he makes a good McRib. Well.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'm gonna talk about a book that I just finished reading. I'm going to talk about Sheltered, Issue 1. By Ed Brisson and Johnny Christmas. Oh my god, that's the coolest name ever.
Okay.
That's all I really...
Yeah. I was hoping you were going to talk about this book, because I have things to say about it, god damn it.
I really, really liked this.
I dug it.
I kind of breezed through it.
I thought it was a really cool... I thought it was a cool concept.
All right.
Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed the end.
And the ending is dark.
All right. Let's get this out of the way.
Yes.
This was almost my pick of the week. I was like, you guys thought I was going to say I didn't like it. No, I fucking loved this. It was so good. Yeah. The fact that it wasn't my pick is just a testament to how much I like the other book. But seriously, what a fucking setup. I loved the idea of the... Like, I was already interested in these whole, like, doomsday preppers, because I've seen some other stuff about it, but not very much. But then this, like, finale, we're going to get, like, Lord of the Flies all up in this bitch. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I wrote a review for this on Alpha, and the way I described it is just these doomsday preppers whose world is falling apart, but the world is perfectly fine. The world around them is okay. Meanwhile, their little microcosm is fucked.
They're so I think it's cool because they make the point of talking about how the city doesn't know they're there. Like, so their underground bunkers are all completely
off the grid.
So these kids are totally going to have their own little utopia underground that no one's going to know about. It's totally awesome.
I like that it's going to be. It's kind of the apocalypse for obviously all the adults of this little safe haven. However, I love that concept of just the fact that it is crazy, inept, psychopaths ruling a little kingdom under themselves. And
I just liked it because it seemed like a book about really crazy Americans.
Yeah.
Like really crazy libertarian Americans. The people who are like, you don't need to know anything about me ever.
The people who are least equipped to try and repropagate like a society at the end of the world are the kind of people who have now created safe haven. Yeah. And then within that, there's already a splinter within this mini cell. So this mini cell of crazy people have broken off from society. And within that mini cell of crazy people, there is an even minier cell of crazy people who have broken off from that society.
And spoiler, I mean, now there's only that.
What was most interesting to me is that these guys don't even seem like they're crazy people. Like, this this is a very real, like, this is happening. This is huge in the States right now. The whole people building bunkers. And, like, they don't even come across as crazy, though. Like, they all seem relatively normal. It's probably varying degrees of paranoia, but like that was what I thought was the most interesting about it, because these Doomsday Prepper guys are not like nutsos. I mean, they're clearly a little bit different from the rest of us, but like I just think it's so fascinating that we can get to a point in our society where there are whole offshoots of Western society that are like deciding no, they're going to try and just completely go off the grid and go on their own. But yeah, I'm the only people who really seem crazy so far are the kids.
I think in concept, ultimately, like the just the concept itself of doomsday prepping is kind of crazy.
I mean, if they're prepping for biblical doomsday or an apocalyptic scenario, but most of these guys who are doomsday prepping are more preparing for what they see as what's going to happen politically, like
nuclear war.
Not even nuclear war. They're not talking about the destruction of the world. They're talking about the collapse of civilization, not because of any kind of war or anything. They're just because of if any kind of war, class warfare. Like, if you look at the separation between the classes in the United States, like, it's not as crazy when you try and look at it a little bit from their perspective. If it's literally, like, the Mayan apocalypse, that would be nutty. But it's more these people just politically so diametrically opposed to the norm and on both sides of the political spectrum. It's, I don't know, the whole idea of these preppers is just intensely fascinating to me. Like,
have you ever seen that show, Doomsday Preppers?
No, because I don't think that those kind of shows are really... I mean, obviously, they're reality shows, which so they're completely unreal in every way. you know what I mean?
Awesome.
I don't really like them, but I would rather actually read someone write, like, an intelligent book about it than... I'm sure the show's entertaining. But
it's entertaining.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it's... I don't find the concept to be fodder for entertainment so much as I just find it, like, fascinating the mindset of these people. So, but yeah, I have seen the show. Anyway, I adored this comic book.
Yeah, it's really good.
I like how I just like how it sets up like a Lord of the Flies scenario.
Yeah,
which is cool because I like that book. I don't really have much.
I
to say.
Like,
although
the,
I will say
I
Johnny Christmas.
I actually don't like that book.
I think Lord of the Flies is one of the coolest books ever written, but it's also one of the most poorly written books.
Oh yeah,
like oh my god, like it's such a cool idea and it's a cool concept. It's like something that I wish William Golding didn't write. I wish he just told George Orwell about it and was like, hey, you should write this book for me.
He's
not a good writer.
I have a question. Were you in my English class when we read that and our teacher drew for like 20 minutes a diagram of how Piggy dies?
I wasn't in your class. I had the same teacher though in a different
did he do the
different
same
block.
Diagram?
We did the same thing, yeah.
Where he
drew a picture of blood going everywhere because he was trying to describe the death of Piggy because the paragraph in the book makes fuck all sense. Like, it's written so bad that it actually makes no sense. Like, I think we've talked about this on this podcast before, actually, is like, the rock comes down on top of Piggy, magically defies gravity, and flies around him, and then hits him in the midsection, and Piggy flies 50 feet outwards into the sea.
Yeah.
So a rock falls down and goes whoop, whoop, poof. Like, it was just retarded.
Now, that makes... I am a physicist. That makes
sense.
You're
a what?
I'm a physicist.
I'm a physicist.
I guess when you can't pronounce it, you're not it. Also, I'm pretty sure our teacher was just really high. But
everyone keeps saying that. I don't think
he was. I don't know. There was days when he was, like, normal, and then there was days when he
was,
like...
Well, he does listen... See, now...
Yeah, he listens to fish,
been,
so...
Here we go. Here
fish,
it is.
But
fish is on summer tour right now, and they're kicking the shit out of it, so you guys laugh all you want.
Why would they do that to their tour?
We're over here fucking jamming to the MoMA dance, all right, motherfuckers?
Do the MoMA dance. Oh.
I'm not.
Do the MoMA dance.
But my
well,
life is
you probably
going on.
Should be, yeah. You know what? Your life would be better.
No,
it
I got
could
my
be
retweet
so much
from
better.
Million
fish?
Yeah.
No, dude, just don't.
I don't even eat fish. Why would I listen to
you? You don't eat fish? Oh, your life would be so much better if you ate fish.
I hate fish. I hate
if you
fish.
Ate fish records?
I don't eat fish. I hate fish. I don't want seafood at all.
You know, I seafood, fish. I eat seafood. When I see like, food, I eat it.
Have you ever had ABC gum? It's already been chewed. Bleh.
Let's kill ourselves.
So Sheltered was good.
Take her away, Jory. Okay, again, off topic, because I was just... I saw a link that interested me on CBC, and I happened to click on it while you were talking. This is like we're living in Bizarro Universe. MP Jason Kenney slams David Suzuki's immigration views as toxic and irresponsible after environmentalist says Canada is full. Jason Kenney, one of the closest things to a neo-Nazi we have in Canadian politics, is saying that David Suzuki's views on immigration in this country are disgusting and irresponsible because David Suzuki is saying Canada is full. We shouldn't have any more people in here.
David Suzuki said Canada is full?
That's what he said in an interview with CBC. Like, I haven't read the
whole
article.
What the fuck
happened
to that guy's brain? That guy's insane.
He's got it out there lately.
Well, yeah, he's a fucking nut bar.
He's fucking nuts now.
But, like, seriously, when Jason Kenney is like, whoa, whoa, he's up there, Tex. How fucked up are you when Vic Toes, when Jason Kenney is the voice of reason?
It's also, it's Taves, isn't it?
Yeah, it is Taves, yeah, I know. Yeah.
I know that.
He resigned. He resigned.
Before
yeah.
He
Ooh, Vic
got
Taves resigned.
Told everything by everyone?
Fucking dickhole. No, he just resigned, like, today.
No, I meant, like, remember, tell Vic everything?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, everyone
doing,
told him it. Now he knows.
Doing a joke.
We don't know anymore.
He knows everything, so he can go home.
You know what sucks about that?
Nothing?
Well, his pension doesn't suck.
Yeah.
But, fucking asshole.
Yeah, he's kind of a dickweed.
It makes me sad that a really good hockey player has to share the same last name.
There's a really great author who has the same last name too.
Really?
Miriam Toews.
Miriam Taves, yeah.
Is it Taves for her too?
Taves.
Taves two stalls. Taves
beat back. Yeah, here's the thing about that.
This episode
Where's
is now
the
called Tic Tac Taves.
Tic Tac Taves. Tic Tac on the spot. DJ blow my speakers up. No, that's in Kesha. That was good.
Have you guys seen the how to pronounce words videos?
No, but have you seen Phil Anselmo cooking?
No.
It's like a cartoon of Phil
but
Anselmo
have you
from
seen
Pantera cooking. And
from
he
Pantera.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, like 5 minutes alone? It's just him being like, 5 minutes on low, just simmer. It's cool. It's like the funniest thing ever. If
Joey.
If you know Pantera, it's funny.
I do know Pantera. Can you YouTube how to pronounce synecdoche?
It's like that. Synecdoche.
No. Can you YouTube it, please?
I always thought it was synecdoche.
No, synecdoche.
Can you just YouTube it for me, please?
I thought that until the Fat Man on Batman with Greg Capullo.
Just the words how to pronounce synecdoche. And then make sure to turn it up really, really loud.
Okay, let's see what happens here. Hang on, I don't know if this is actually going to work because my speakers aren't. Hang on, wait.
Turn your speakers up.
No, my speakers are on. It's just so crazy thing.
DJ, turn my speakers.
Ooh,
okay, here's how to pronounce synecdoche.
Cytokine of Dota Jody.
He keeps saying it. Cytokine.
Where did it?
Cytokine. Cytokine of
What the fuck is
Have
this?
Have you never seen these videos?
No.
Oh my god. Look at how to pronounce Justin Bieber.
Alright.
Just cut
riveting.
The Just cut this out.
I'm not doing editing. Are you kidding? I post this after we. Okay, here we go. Justin Bieber. Is it cunt?
Juggy Brody T. Juggy Brody T.
Juggy Brody T. Juggy Brody T.
Juggy Brody
Brody T.
Juggy bro. Juggy There's bro, like dude. Someone made like 1,000 videos of how to pronounce different words, and they're all the funniest things I've ever seen.
Chuggy Brodel.
There's dude. One that's how to pronounce lesbians, and it's this guy going, "Lesbians, let me use it in a sentence. Are you attracted to me, or are you a couple of lesbians?"
Chuggy
bro. Cytokine and Dota
Chody. Cytokine
and Dota Chody. Cytokine and Dota Chody. Like when I first asked you to pronounce it, you're like,
yeah, it's next to
You say it wrong. You're like, no, just do what I said, you're ruining my bit. Okay, back to comics.
Cytokine and Dota Chody. Anyone who had to sit through that, they're probably just watching those videos now.
I don't
Sign a kind of
Dota Comics.
Sign a kind of Dota Chody.
Sign a kind of Dota Chody.
Sign a kind of Dota Chody. What are you talking about this comic book, Joey, by Cullen Bunn?
I'm gonna.
Yeah, I am.
And Joel Jones.
Yeah.
How awesome was this?
It's called Helheim.
Isn't it good?
It's from Omni Press. Oh, it's so good. I mean, Joel Jones is like the best.
Right?
Can't she just draw all the books, please?
Any book involving a crazy monster?
Or any book.
All right.
Just all books.
Yeah, she's absolutely amazing.
Beautiful stuff. Beautiful.
Such a brilliant artist. The way that she designs Rickard, the Draugr, I can never pronounce it very well.
Draugr. Diragadogadugr.
Diragadogadugr.
How to pronounce comics.
I like when Rickard
when
Rickard gets his wings. The front cover is absolutely amazing, by the
way. It's great, yeah. So is this an ongoing or is it a mini?
I'm really hoping it's an ongoing.
I hope it's an ongoing.
I think it's been solicited as an ongoing. So.
I hope so too.
How does the sixth gun work? Because I know it's got mini series in
it. Well, now it does.
It
was an ongoing series until very, very recently.
And now it's not an ongoing anymore?
Well, I think it will either. I think they're just doing it as they're doing it less frequently now.
Oh, so it's kind of like American Vampire where there's a main American Vampire and there's offshoots of it? Like
I believe so. I believe. Don't quote me on that because I don't actually buy it, but yes.
Sixth Gun is the next book I need to buy and trade.
It's really good.
Because I've almost caught up with Morning Glories and trade. And the Sixth Gun
They just solicited the second hardcover for Morning Glories, so I look forward to reading it.
The third trade of Morning Glories is even, I don't know, every single installment of Morning Glories is more what the fuck than the last one. Does anyone read? Do either of you guys read any of Cullen Bunn's Marvel work?
I don't read a lot of Marvel books, so I don't think so.
I read Deadpool Kills Deadpool.
He's doing the Deadpool Kills stuff.
Yeah, the Deadpool Kills.
I mean, I didn't read any of that stuff, so.
I heard that Killustrated wasn't very good.
Killustrated was shit the first issue, and the other three issues were pretty good.
Oh. And then doesn't he write the Women Defenders? Fearless Defenders. Sorry. That sounded.
Does he write that? Oh, because I actually liked that book. I only read the first couple issues, but I thought it was pretty good.
You know what they call that book in some places? No, I'm just going to make a really sexist joke, so I'm just not. I'll pass. I was going to call them the Lesser Defenders, but.
They defend
the same, but they just get paid less. It's cool.
Jesus the comments in the how to pronounce Justin Bieber thing on YouTube are predictable, if nothing else.
That's not how to pronounce it.
No, seriously. No, this one says douchebag would have worked here. The one, I'm sorry, you pronounced faggot wrong.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, like the majority of these are the same joke. Justin Bieber is pronounced fag. This one also says juice stain boo bear. Which is not as funny as Juggy Brodelteed. Jew stain boo bear.
Gross.
A Jew. What is a Jew stain? It's like somebody like knocks over a menorah and the wax comes out and it burns for 8 days, for 8 crazy nights. Juggy Brodelteed.
Juggy Brodelteed. Okay, we're gonna talk about one of the best books. Sign a kind,
Dota Chody.
Sign a kind, Dinadai Dota Chody. Okay, so this is one of the best books coming out at Marvel. There's
Trumpet.
Two books that was.
Oh my goodness.
Rob.
So I was I was kind of upset with this issue because Samnee wasn't drawing it. However, Javier Rodriguez is fucking brilliant.
Apparently I'm stupid because it wasn't until Ryan told me that Samnee hadn't drawn it that I went
really?
Oh really?
In fairness, that's a good thing.
Yeah, like they picked a good guy to do it because the guy...
His style looks more like Paolo Rivera.
Well, now that I look at it, like you said, I'm like, okay, yeah, no, I can totally... It's because the coloring was so good, and it's a similar style, but yeah. Now that I feel like an idiot because I didn't notice it.
He inks Samnee's stuff.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm looking at it like I didn't notice, but now I'm like, okay, it is pretty obvious.
Isn't he the inker on Samnee's stuff?
He's a colorist.
Oh. So the colors are the exact same. His style of art looks like Paolo Rivera, who started off the series. So, like, Paolo Rivera, Chris Samnee, Javier Rodriguez, they're all in the same vein, and they're all just excellent, excellent artists. And this is one of the most compelling stories, one of the most endearing characters in the Marvel Universe, and easily one of the best books coming out monthly right now. And coming out, like, twice a month, which I'm super happy about.
Hells yeah.
This one is kind of picking up after the epic... Bullseye story that had been built up over the last fucking 27 issues. So This one is dealing with an old childhood acquaintance of Matt Murdock, who comes back and needs his legal advice, ultimately.
Which was very cool.
It was a really cool story about Matt Murdock as a kid. And it also, like, dealt with one subject that I actually really, really appreciated they like, talked about, is that everyone always thinks that they're the butt of the joke and that they are the, like, picked on in high school or elementary school, and that everyone made their life hell and they didn't do anything to warrant it or to warrant bad treatment, or they were never a dick to anybody. But it's funny, because when you actually remember high school or elementary school, like, everyone was kind of a douche, and, like, mm-hmm. no, even if you were picked on, there was someone that you picked on as well, that you were also yeah. kind of an
it's
ass
a cycle.
Yeah, everyone is just kind of shitty because you're all developing people. You're still, like, not fully developed yet, but except for, never mind. I was going to do a gross boob joke.
Yeah. Juggy Brody.
What I like that is that Matt Murdock gets picked on by this asshole kid, but at the same time, Matt Murdock is a boastful, annoying little prick when he's in elementary school. Where yeah. he's standing up on top of the lunch tables talking about how his dad could beat up everybody.
Yes, I saw the Tennessee for the movie. Who wants to touch me?
I said, who wants to fucking touch
me? Who wants to fucking touch me?
I thought it was just going to be like a one and done quick story, but the last page again kind of explodes into this crazy new.
Yeah, it does.
What is it? The is it Hydra? No, wait, I can't remember. It's what little avenue of Daredevil bad guys it is, but ultimately the judge is like a member of it, and it was a really cool mm-hmm. surprise ending. That I love. I love this series. It's always one of the first that I read when it comes out. And beautiful yeah. cover, too.
The Sons of the Serpent, or whom you're referring to.
I kind of want a shirt that says, I beat Daredevil, too, now, because of this cover. And I also want to put a Nelly Band-Aid on my face.
Do it. Just follow your dreams.
Pull a Nelly.
You want to pull him?
I want to pull on him. I want to pull his finger.
Fart
done.
Noises with my mouth.
Did Ryan
cool.
just read a book?
I just finished another book here, and it was it was my pick of the week. I'm choked up. that book. Oh my god!
Really? All right. Well, yeah. I guess talk okay. about the one that.
Yeah, I'm
going to
talk about this one
okay,
that
cool.
is shockingly not my favorite.
As of
5 seconds ago,
the first out of 12 times I think that this hasn't been my favorite. But wow, that other okay. I'm going to talk about Hawkeye issue 12 from the Great Matt Fraction and. Who does the artwork in this joy book?
Francesco Fucafaya.
I think it's actually Juggy Brodel.
I think it's Seneca Ducka Chucky. What?
Sinodona Chota.
Seneca Ducka Chucky? He was my favorite character in DuckTales.
Seneca Ducka Chucky?
It's the wonderful Francesco.
Francesco Francavilla, the best man. The best artist in comics.
The best man at your wedding.
Fuck, this comic was good.
Who was the best man at your wedding?
My friend Peter.
Ah.
Yeah.
Thought it would be me, but that's good.
You weren't invited!
I didn't really even talk
you
to you.
You weren't really hanging out at the time, brother.
That's true. Anyways, this is a really cool, like a really fun story about.
It's a beautiful, beautiful story.
About Clint's brother's
cute.
Barney, there we go.
His brother from Papua New Guinea.
I was gonna.
Papua New Guinea.
His brother.
Right.
That was fucking racist. Jesus Christ.
Those Papa people.
His brother was,
okay
was the guy from.
Those aren't okay things.
From. What's that movie with the black guy who clicks? His name was a click.
Oh, you're talking about the gods must be crazy.
Yeah, the gods. Yeah, that's not his brother. It's actually Barney. Barney Barton. I was
yeah.
gonna say Buddy. Actually, is what it's
Buddy Barton.
Anyways, just like a really kind of silly but fun story about him. About well, okay, present time. It's kind of a silly story because it's a lot about Barney dealing with the bro mafia.
Bro.
While also with this like really sad flashback,
yeah, about
to their
Barney
childhood.
And Clint growing up,
yeah, and about their alcoholic father and their pushover of a mother, and also like a really sad part where, with by the way, great page here, where they show the accident,
oh yeah,
that kills their parents, and the police officer says there's a terrible accident, your parents are dead. And
Clint's like,
Clint's just
good.
And it's really sad.
It's
but
a bit of a bummer.
Fuck me, this book looks amazing. Anyways, also, Matt Fraction tweeted something about there being a panel with the record amount of bros in one panel.
Yeah, that was the best.
Because it's literally
bro,
bro, bro, bro, bro, bro, bro, bro, bro, bro, bro, bro, bro, bro, bro. And then seriously.
I should just read this book like I did the dog. Okay.
No, oh, don't. God, don't.
Hey, guess what, chicken butt?
A little off. How do I cut his microphone?
But you know what? I do love the hey, guess what, chicken butt, because I used to tell that joke all the time. It was fun.
You know who else should tell that joke?
Guess what, chicken pie.
Juggy Brody.
Juggy Brody.
Where would he be when he told that joke?
Son,
where would he be when he told that joke?
What's that?
Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
World.
Clearly she's in San Diego.
An extra 10 points an extra 10 points to the person with obsessive compulsive disorder who can tell me how to name that band.
Do it, Rockapella! Yeah! And then they go, well, she sneaks around the world from Kiev to Carolina. She's a sticky finger flusher from Berlin down to Belize. Her itinerary's loaded up with moving violations.
I'm not allowed to read a book.
Yeah, the Nylons sang such great hits as, what was that one we had in the car when we were kids that mom always let us listen to?
Did you say in the car?
In the car. The Nylons sang,
We're just wee-bys.
Fuck, who did the Nylons sing?
Fuck that's you.
No, that's CeeLo Green.
I see you driving around town with the girl I love, and I'm like, bro, seriously.
Okay, well, I have one more. Are you almost
done
with that one?
Yeah, I'm done, but just great and hard. Not as good as Aja.
You know what? I'm not even going to really talk about this because no one else is reading it. Suffice to say that 12 Reasons to Die number 2 is awesome. And Ghostface Killah is in it, and I'm going to name my first son Ghostface Killah. So there you go.
Oh, I had a really cool idea for your child's name.
Yeah, what is it?
Juggy Brodelty. I can't remember what it was really funny.
Juggy Brodelty.
Me and my good friend, who will just be known as the Cake Man. I told him about naming your child Daniel Bryan.
Oh, that's good.
And he was like, that'd be awesome. And then we were brainstorming.
They're all wrestling names?
No, I can't remember. There was one. Dude Love. Because he'd be Dude. The Dude.
Yeah.
And B... Or Dude Love Bowski Gruzecki.
Dude Love Bowski. Came up with a good name tonight for my son. Because I think that it'll make him very popular and he'll do well in high school drama. We're going to name
Huge
him...
Cock.
Arsenio Hall.
No. Yes and. Yes and Gruzecki. Yeah. Right?
Okay, I'm going to talk about three books real quick.
He'll be great.
Do it.
Peter Panzerfaust is one of the greatest books being published today, and Tyler Jenkins gets better with every single issue.
So is your dad.
Right? This arc is turning out to be one of my favorite arcs of Peter Panzerfaust. East of West, I won't talk about extensively because Joey and Ryan haven't read it, but it was my second favorite issue of this series. The first one's still my favorite, I think. Just like the curiosity that it kind of set up was so perfectly executed. But a lot of the narrative throughout East of West is what made this issue 4 one of my favorite comics this year so far. It really deals with Death's wife, and it's like nothing but action, just action. It's fucking really crazy, really explosive, really exciting. And then finally, Superman Unchained by Scott Snyder and Jim Lee. Oh yeah, the last book was Jonathan Hickman and Nick Dragotta.
Yeah, it was.
And before that was Curtis Weeb and Tyler Jenkins on Peter Panzerfaust. But Superman Unchained, this I loved even more than the first issue. The first issue I really enjoyed. The second issue I loved even more because it deals with... The first couple pages are just like 15 seconds in Superman's life trying to save a falling building. And Scott Snyder writing Superman inner monologue is just exemplary. Like, amazing, amazing stuff. And he's also getting to fight a giant robot.
Which I'm always in favor of.
Yeah.
I saw Pacific Rim, by the way.
So did I.
So good.
It was.
I know, I was telling the audience.
It was a lot of fun.
But,
especially a cameo by Juggy Brodelty.
There's a lot of double page like cinematic spreads throughout this book that Scott Snyder seems to be using a lot more lately. I think they're done really efficiently and they're really beautiful and seem to fit a lot of story into them. There's also a great sequence in the Batcave with Superman talking to Batman where you can just tell that like Scott Snyder so badly wanted to put Batman in the story as much as he could because he clearly loves Batman way more. And he writes him so perfectly, and he writes the characterization of Batman and Superman, that friendship, so perfectly. He's really, really excellent at it. It also has one of my favorite depictions of Lex Luthor ever. It introduces Wrath, the character that kind of was teased in the first issue, and kind of teases him a little more, but ultimately like he actually shows up and says something. And then finally it shows the best kind of Lex Luthor, which I'll show Joey and he'll be psyched for the last bit.
Oh yeah, he's got crazy armor on.
It's like, it's mad scientist Lex Luthor to the point of his body is completely dead and he's programmed this insane robotic with his brain, basically.
That shit cray.
His mind, while he's like piloting this insane mech warrior and escaping from prison. So it's like the most insane Luthor, mad scientist I've read since fucking Grant Morrison kind of stuff. Or even Paul Cornell wrote really good mad scientist Lex Luthor, but...
Do you want to know a fun fact?
Yes.
In the future, Sigourney Weaver is going to pilot that.
Get away from you, you bitch!
Mech thing. Thank you.
How come they never made a sequel to You, Me, and Dupree?
I don't know why you're laughing so hard too.
You know what?
Cameron, I guess it's a good question.
I'm gonna say this right now. 15 minutes of that movie make a great movie. If you cut out everything with that fucking piece of shit Kate Hudson in it,
that movie is one of the biggest piles of dog shit I've ever had.
Anything without Kate Hudson is actually really good in that movie. Everything with her, even if she just like walks in the background, you're like, fuck it.
That is by a wide margin the stupidest thing I've ever said on this podcast.
Not gonna.
But he's just lovable little Dupree.
You, Me, and Dupree. Wait, isn't Seth Rogen in You, Me, and Dupree?
He's like...
is he one of the
Matt Dillon's friend? Yeah.
Yeah, that movie fucking blows.
Well, why though?
Why didn't they?
Because it was windy out, duh.
What?
Alright. Are we moving on to our favorites?
Yeah.
What time is it?
Favorite.
10:38.
That's that's our new segue.
What time is
Someone
it?
Has to ask favorite. What time it is.
Favorite.
Sorry, 10:39. My new phone told me. I got a new phone.
Hey, nice new phone. You have an Thank iPhone you. 7.
5.
287.
That's my phone.
All right. My favorite of the week was by Adam Egypt Mortimer, which is a great name. Right. From Black Mask Studios, cool. Artist Christmas. Derek Robertson. Returning to familiar ground, he's doing what he ought to be doing, crazy science fiction, wacky shit. It's Ballistic Number 1. It opens with a man being punched in the face in a Repo City State. If you liked...
It's funny because that's how The Boys opens up.
Okay, look at this fucking page. It's
Isn't
so
it
beautiful.
Sweet?
Like the sideways page of the flying car. And, this book is hilarious. B, it's really funny. The Talking Gun is like my new favorite
A, it's hilarious,
ever.
And B, it's really funny.
Did I say that B? Did I do it like that? Maybe I should write the sequel to You, Me, and Dupree, starring Juggy Brody. Okay, what I meant to say is A, it's hilarious, B, it's clever. Like, the plot
Very
is
clever.
Ridiculous, like, kind of a heist he tries to do when him and his gun get really high and think they should pull a heist. And then when his gun comes down, it doesn't want to do the heist anymore.
It just
totally fucks
puking,
him over.
Like,
it vomits. Yeah. And, seriously, this is going to be an insanely fun comic. It's got such a... Like, the universe that they've created feels so well realized after only one issue, in much the same way that... I hate to keep relating it to Transmetropolitan, but it's... You kind of have to. I mean, A, it's the same artist. B, it's sort of a similar future,
it's
only this
very,
one's a lot more of, like, a biotech future.
This was Transmet meets The Exterminators.
Yeah.
Which,
like,
Derek Robertson also did work on, which is funny.
Yeah, it's very, like, Naked Lunch, kind of, like, weird bio-future tech.
Yeah,
as
and
opposed,
the main character
yeah.
totally reminded me of the main character of Exterminators. Like, he's
yeah.
just, like...
But,
this guy's an air conditioner repairman.
Totally. It's more like Brazil meets Naked Lunch
yeah.
than Transmetropolitan, which was more like... Hunter S. Thompson meets a weird future, but meets Naked Lunch. But anyway, I really enjoyed it. I
love
the art, and the gun is the new best character in the history of comics.
I think this
watching
issue
a gun
is...
rip bong hits is hilarious.
Yeah. This issue is one of the most exciting first issues
so
I've read
cool.
in a long time. It was
funny.
Fucking, it was also, and like you said, like it's so clever.
Yeah.
Just the concept of how the gun even works. The gun is like a sentient weapon that feeds off his adrenaline. So in moments of high stress, that's when the gun fuses to his arm and gets a mind of its own that then hopefully will kill whoever he wants to kill. And then the heist at the end, the way that the bank is set up in this weird universe, and I love the concept of this crazy mobster at the beginning who, like, is beating the shit out of this dude and then desperately just needs his air conditioning fixed. I don't know. This series is already starting off so perfectly. I've never heard of Adam Egypt Mortimer. Who's this man? You've never heard of
Who
Egypt.
Is this man?
Who's Egypt?
Egypt is a country in Africa.
He's shaped like a triangle, but there's three of them. Four of them.
What?
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 That's pyramid.
What?
What?
What? I would highly recommend picking up this series from Black Mask.
Highly.
The Schmirker Bird.
I love Derek Robertson. I haven't watched The Boys yet.
I almost picked that up because Derek Robertson was on there.
You dig it, man.
I don't know if I would, though.
Well,
I don't know why. I don't know. And it's like big and colorful and bright and fun looking. But I don't know.
Your favorite book is Hawkeye.
Yeah, Hawkeye's.
It's pretty bright and colorful and ridiculous.
Except not this
one. Adam Egypt Mortimer was one of the people interviewed in the Grant Morrison Talking with Gods documentary.
Sweet.
That helps you.
I've seen that documentary a couple times, but
I don't remember him.
Who the fuck is that guy? He's made up.
I don't think he is.
Talk about your book, Ryan.
Am I going to talk about my book? Yeah.
What happened to you? Did you just have a stroke?
Yeah.
You won the camera.
I'm going to talk about my favorite of the book.
I think he's like a music video director.
7 minutes ago.
Oh. He did music videos for a band called Idiot Pilot.
I've heard of Idiot Pilot.
He did a music video for them.
They're kind of like a whatever indie band, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
I've seen them. An alternative rock electronica duo from Bellingham, Washington, in the United States.
I've totally seen them. I can't remember where, but like year like 2005.
You guys remember the Propeller Heads?
Yeah, yeah. They had that song I liked from The Matrix.
Yep.
Yeah.
Was it Sandstorm by Darude?
No. Mortal Kombat.
Say, that's just Mortal Kombat.
Test your might.
That's not test your might.
And then it's also the South Park theme. Talk about your book, Ryan. What book did you read that was your favorite book?
That I, as of 7 minutes ago.
Juggy Brody.
Toomey and Dupree!
Don't laugh, don't encourage Toomey and Dupree!
I'm sorry.
Oh my god, Toomey and Dupree!
Oh my god, why isn't it just called that?
And then.
No, it's Toomey and Dupree!
The third one could be Toomey and Dupree!
Toomey and Dupree!
And then the fourth one could just be like Toomey and Dupree 4.
Yeah.
And then in brackets, we fucked up. 4 times. Anyways, my favorite as of a couple minutes ago was Ghosted issue 1 from Image.
Say, guys, do you like Ocean's 11?
Yeah. I do.
Do you guys like horror stories?
No. Yeah, I do. Rob's a pussy, but I like.
Oh,
do you want to read Ocean's 11, but they have to steal a ghost from a haunted house?
Holy shit.
Sounds pretty cool.
That's what it is. Joshua Williamson is a writer, and Goran Suzuki.
What did Joshua Williamson do before this?
He wrote Juggy Brody.
Fuck. Goran Suzuki is one of my favorite artists. He did a bunch of Why the Last Man. That's where I was trying to think of where the name's from.
And
he did a bunch of Why the Last Man, and he also did ADD with Douglas Rushkoff, and he also did... Oh my god, what did he do?
Chaz Bono.
Joshua Williamson wrote the Uncharted comic, which was really good. He did Voodoo for DC. He did, he's doing Masks and Mobsters, is the anthology book for Monkey Brain.
I've been hearing that's really, really good.
It is really, really good. Yeah.
What else did he do?
This guy looks like Yorick, the main character here.
He did Lady Constantine with Andy Diggle, which was a Hellblazer spinoff. He also did Chaz.
He also wrote Xenoholics, which I really like. I didn't realize that was him. Fuck, why didn't I buy this comic? I fucked it up!
You know, all I could think about reading this comic was Kelly really liked it. Whole bunch of rape and stabbing prison stuff going on.
It's the worst kind of stuff.
Little bit, and then something happens that's essentially this lady kills everybody in a prison and then steals him from prison.
Jerk, man.
And he wrote a story in Dia de los Muertos.
There we go. That's probably right on the name.
I don't know.
Anyways, so this guy... what's his name?
Isaiah.
Jackson Winters is his name. He gets smuggled out to this really strange old man's house, who basically he has all these artifacts and stuff from the occult, and he says, I'm missing one piece, and it's a ghost from this crazy house, from this house owned by this family that's basically like every horror family trope of all time. It looks cool. And he's basically saying, like, just get me a ghost. That's all I need. And
we ain't scared of no goats.
And then you know what we get, Joey? And
a ghost.
You know what we get?
Tell me.
We get I just know the right people for the job. And then we get the roundup montage.
Oh, yeah.
Where we get this...
We have our grease man.
We get Oliver King, whose specialty is detecting bullshit. Robbie Trick, who's an old school stage magician. And this thing's really funny. Because he goes, for my next illusion, shit, I messed up 1 second. And then he goes, you want to do what now? And he says, it pays, I'm in.
Nice.
So this guy might be my favorite character already. Then you get Jay and Joe Burns, they're ghost trappers. They have like one of those shows, the ghost shows. Sweet. And then finally, Edzia Rusnak, a super psychic and medium.
A super psychic.
On top of that, there's also the woman who broke Jackson Winters out of prison. Including this really... They have a lot of really funny... repartee? Is that the right word I'm looking for?
It is. Well done.
Repartee work.
Witty repartee.
Witty repartee. I don't know if it's witty.
It's pronounced...
That was the...
Sinodota Bruggleti.
There we go.
This was the apex of my night. You using that word. As well.
My name was Jiggy Bruggleti.
I shouldn't have shown you this fucking video.
I'm so glad you did.
She basically points out that, like, oh, it looks like nobody's showing up. You might be going back to prison. And then he just says, you know, every time you open your mouth, I get an erection. And then there's this panel where he just takes a drag of a cigarette, and then he goes, that's what I thought. Here we go. And everybody shows up. But, yeah, and then they walk into this house with this really cool double page showing like the exterior of the house.
So good,
Oh my god, like it's amazing. And then they get into the house. They're just kind of scouting around, and he asks
scouting around.
Yes,
Bradley.
Work,
Scradley.
Oh, that was sticking around. And it's on.
Anyway, so he asks the psychic, he's like, do you find any ghosts here? And then we get this really cool page of all these ghosts coming at them, and she says, I don't see anything.
So I should pick up this book.
She's playing games.
Is this an ongoing book?
I'm getting it. It's holy shit.
You guys, honestly,
Sean Phillips covers.
Yeah, man. You honestly both.
I think I'm going to get it in trade paperback.
Fair enough.
I don't know why I want that, but.
Like I said, I read it, and it was my favorite immediately. This might be one of my favorite image books.
It looks pretty great. I'm pretty much on board. Having heard you describe it, I wish I'd bought it.
Well, but this way, I was looking forward more to Sheltered this week, and this blows Sheltered out of the water. And Sheltered's a good book.
I liked Sheltered a lot.
Yeah, Sheltered was awesome. Image Comics just rules it, making the best comics in the world right now. Yeah,
they do.
Other than Hawkeye.
Are you guys still sticking with Bedlam?
I dropped it actually pre-Riley leaving, but...
Really? Okay, because I think I dropped it as well. And which sucks, because it has nothing to do with my dis...
It's a good book,
Ryan Brown, because I love Ryan Brown. Mm-hmm. It's just I don't like the story as much, and I was mostly following it because of Riley.
I mostly did because it was one of the books where it's like, I like this.
Yeah, the story...
That's a good reason to follow the book.
The story is just kind of, you know, it's just kind of silent.
It's just the story, you know?
Mind the Gap I also dropped. I kind of missed... I wish I was following Mind the Gap in trade, though, because that reads better in a trade. I'm really glad I follow Morning Glories in a trade, because I think I would be driven insane if I had to follow it once a month. Mara's amazing. I'm just listing all these. Did you guys finish Lost Vegas?
No, alas, I did not. I read the first issue.
It was good.
Basically, the first issue came out, and then I found out my wife was pregnant, and I dropped a shit ton of books. Yeah. So it's not even that book's fault. It's just, you know.
I have a similar story. I read the first issue, and then I was like, yeah, that was okay. And then I just...
I'm looking at the page of like all the upcoming releases, and I read almost all of these. Lazarus is one of my new favorite series. Legend of Luther Strode is almost over, but it was fucking amazing.
Fat Owl's
Great Pacific I dropped, but I plan on getting like the second volume and all the rest of the volumes in trade.
I'm gonna get them all. Yeah,
that was a good book. I really liked it. Sex wasn't very good.
Sex is selling really well.
Sex sells, as we all know.
It's
selling pretty well.
Sweet.
Both of Joe Casey's books are selling like high 40,000s.
My issue one might be worth something, which is that's all it's good for because Well, actually, you know what? The story was fine. It was a story that things happen in. But that fucking...
Not really.
That like, thing he wrote at the back where it was, like, 3 pages of being, like, the big two are stupid, and if you read them, you're fucking stupid, too. It's like, oh, you know what?
He's kind of... Yeah, sir, buddy, it's so me, not worth anything on eBay.
It put me off. Oh, damn.
For the all four of the first issue, first prints, you can get them all for, including shipping, $20.
Hey, that's more.
Hey,
I probably get $5.
And for like a sold out number one, just by itself, you can get it for $1.
That'll buy you fucking 5 comics.
Or like 10.
Why would someone do this? You can pre-order Sex Criminals number one for $3.42 Canadian plus $2.89 shipping. Why would I pay close to $7 for a book that is $2.99.
That you can just pre-order at your comic shop.
You can go to any comic book store and say, I would like this book to come to me.
I did that.
I'm going to talk about my favorite.
That book's going to be my favorite.
Oh, did we skip you? Weird.
Did you? Oh, yeah. I made him talk about his book because I was recently just not shutting up about other books.
Oh, I'm changing my favorite. It's now this. No, I'm just kidding.
This is... I usually try to avoid making this my favorite because this book kind of has like the... Captain America syndrome when Ed Brubaker was writing it, where every issue was just was
the
perfect issue.
The Hawkeye syndrome, where
the
I just
Hawkeye
make
syndrome.
It my favorite.
Yeah, where
time,
every anyways. Issue is just perfect anyway. So it's kind of a moot point saying this was my favorite this week that it came out. Because anyway, it's Batman number 22 by Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo, with a backup featuring James Tinney on the 6th or the 27th or the billionth or whatever. Fourth with Raphael Albuquerque, who is now apparently on 2 ongoing series and going to be doing the backups. I don't know how he's going to juggle that, but I hope he can because he's a brilliant artist. So this is part 2 of Zero Year, which was my favorite because, first off, you know, there's not much more I can say about how Scott Snyder writes comics, because Scott Snyder writes comics in, I don't know, he's the most exciting upcoming talent right now, I would say. Of new talent in the past couple of years, he's easily the top of the list, and he's producing the most popular comics that are also the most popular because they are the best comics. I mean, Batman is probably the most subscribed to comic. It is the most subscribed to comic at our comic shop, and I'm pretty sure it's up there in most other comic shops. What made it my favorite though? The confrontation between Alfred and Bruce was very heart-wrenching, and it was a really great development for Bruce Wayne. But what was actually the best part is, growing up, Riddler was always my favorite villain. I don't know why.
That whole scene with Riddler was kick-ass, yeah.
I really don't know why, but there was something about Riddler, I just thought he was really cool. I thought, like, even though he's a lot of the time written just as, like, a joke, but when he's not written as a joke, where he's written, like, a brilliant... psychopath. I think he's more compelling than Joker, just because he seems more layered than just anarchist.
Yeah.
And I fucking love Joker. And I think my favorite villains in all of comics are the Batman Rogues Gallery, more than the Superman one, more than the Flash one, more than any other superhero. My favorite villains gallery is Batman. Me and every fucking other person who reads superhero comics.
Do you like Bane?
Yeah, I think he's one of my...
I am Gotham's reckoning.
This
he's probably wondering why you'd shoot the man before getting out of the plane.
I watched that last night. It was really cool. I like that.
The first confrontation between Bruce Wayne and Edward Nygma, Scott Snyder fucking knocked out of the park. First, they take a really cool risk by doing this weird... What do you call that? The sneaky...
It's an Ouroboros.
Ouroboros, thank you. They drop an entire page that's in Ouroboros that is just a step-by-step conversation between Nygma and Bruce Wayne, which is Edward Nygma kind of leading him down this... trying to mislead him and trying to just lay all these tracks and different riddles. And usually his riddles are really dumb, like, you know, someone was beaten up, and he's tied up, and there's a question mark written on it. It's like, I wonder who did this thing... But this is actually like a really well led up.
Is that your phone?
Yeah, sequence that step by step was really brilliant to read. And then when you get to the end of it and you see how it actually pans out and how Bruce solves it, I went back to the beginning and looked for all the foreshadowing of it, and I looked for all the dialogue that he's laying all this track for.
laying pipe, laying on his track for all these.
That song?
He's just pooping.
Really great riddles.
David Wilcox.
Really? These great riddles that go on involving the Sphinx and the aviary wing of the, I don't know. It's fucking brilliant. And then that page that Capullo draws of the Ouroboros.
I gotta be honest, I did not like that page at all.
What? I loved it.
I just thought
it was brilliant.
You, really pointless. I would have rather had him draw pictures.
It was so cool.
I know. I mean, I get what they were going for. I think it was cool that they tried something. It just didn't really work for me. It didn't like bother me. I wasn't like, damn it! But I was like, yeah, I would have rather had them just do a page of comic art. Yeah. But it was kind of a cool thing to try. I just didn't like it.
It worked for me, man.
I just
like
how everything was numbered. I like that.
I really
did. Part of it was one of the reasons I didn't like it so much, because I mean I understand why it was numbered, because otherwise it would be harder to follow. But like, if you have to put a big red number on your art so you can, the person can read it and understand what's happening, it looks silly with those red dots. But it was, I mean, I'm really glad you guys dug it, because I could look at it and said, people are either going to really like this page or they're going to be like me and think that it just was kind
of
stupid.
I like that it's a little bit of a shame that only two writers at DC Comics are allowed to even try shit like this, but the fact that they allowed him to do this I think is really cool.
Well, and I hated that, like, it's kind of a waste of a page. There's nothing around the Ouroboros. Yeah. It's not laid over anything. It just looks weird. But
when I first saw it was
weirdly enough, it's also not actually an Ouroboros, because the snake isn't eating its tail. They're talking about an Ouroboros, and it's just a snake in a coil. And I was like, well, I mean, okay.
It's a coil. I dug it. I thought it was
really
cool.
Yeah, cool.
And then also the Red Hood throughout it.
Red Hood's cool.
And leading up to one of my favorite last pages in any comic book ever.
It looks nice.
Is this beautiful Capullo full page. It's like of young Bruce Wayne being swallowed by all these fucking bats.
It's a very cool image.
So goddamn cool.
I have a question.
What the fuck is
that? Are they insinuating that the Riddler is the Red Hood?
No, they're insinuating
that
Riddler is the Red Hood.
Is it,
I think that they've been like laying, I think they're trying to misdirect us into thinking that the Riddler is the Red Hood.
Because, well, they basically show him getting out of this cab, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what we're going to find out that he isn't, but
yeah.
I suspect that we're being led to believe that the Riddler was the original Red Hood in the New 52.
Well, and I think in the Zero issue they kind of hint that it's the Joker who is.
Well, the original Red Hood was the Joker, yeah. So yeah. But I don't know. Cool. I liked this issue too. I did like it. Not as much as you, Rob, but I liked it.
I'm just really excited that it was an arc that I wasn't looking forward to, because
I totally agree.
Yeah, it was an arc that I was like, I don't really care about.
So far, it has been exactly what I kind of thought it was going to be as an arc, but it's been enjoyable. So, like, while yes, it is basically kind of what I was
really
not looking forward to, and that it's like young Batman being young Batman. I'm like, that's fine. It's not the story I was interested in hearing. But if they're going to tell that story, I'm glad they're telling it like this, because they're doing a really good job.
Why?
And the Riddler's kick ass.
Why do they make such a big deal about Superman being unchained when Talon is unchained?
Talon unchained.
Talon.
Red Sonja is unchained, too.
I like Talon. It's a good book.
Yeah. This was definitely a good... I mean, there hasn't been a bad issue of Batman, and this one continues that trend. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I fucking love this.
I will actually say that before... since you guys have been so positive, I'm going to be a dick some more. That's a shitty cover. The last two Batman covers have been the worst of the entire series. Like, what a fucking piece of shit cover. Just pouring some lava into a bat shape. It's like, how boring. You have one of the best artists in comics, and the last two issues have just been the most dull, uninteresting covers I've ever seen in a Batman comic.
As badly as I
you want to disagree with me?
As I want to disagree with you, I fucking can't. Because
it's shit. It's like, come on.
Well, the last one wasn't anything. The last one made in paint. I could have fucking done
that
shit.
Yeah, that one. And this one also
this
was like,
one
really?
Was one that when I saw it solicited, I was kind of hoping. I was like, oh, well, sometimes they show just, like, panels of it.
Nope.
Basically, it's a cover. No, it's
so
like,
boring.
It's a pretty
Who gives
cover.
A fuck? Like, really? How good is Greg Capullo? Why can't he just fucking... maybe he could draw something that actually happens in the comic. I understand that we don't do that in modern comics anymore, but it would be nice. But, two, just come on. Three or five or whatever fucking number we're on.
I miss comic book covers with speech bubbles.
I love any comic book cover with speech bubbles. I'm a sucker for that. The best cover of the week, by the way, was the Gary Frank variant for Superman Unchained.
I didn't actually even see
it's
it.
So kick-ass. I can find a picture.
This week made me so happy to be such a DC fan.
Was it
too.
Was it Captain America
it really
last
did.
Week?
Did I have a single DC
Captain's
book this week?
On, or
Batman, yeah.
Had speech bubbles on the cover? Was it Captain America last week or is it the next issue?
I don't know.
I think it's. I think it was.
I think
last
week.
It was last week. Yeah,
and
I
was like, this
is
cool.
A lot of the Captain America covers and Ryan's.
The one DC book I read though was really good.
I mean,
Batman, so.
I out of the I read five, I only talked about three of them, Suicide Squad was really good. Batman Little Gotham is always adorable.
Did you hear about Suicide Squad?
Yeah, fuck D. Okay, no, I'm on a high.
Matt Kent is writing it.
Is he actually taking it over for
that issue? I don't know. If they haven't announced one way or the other if he is, but maybe.
Because I was really... okay. Alish Kopp being on Suicide Squad, I was so excited for it. It was my pick of the week the week that it came out.
I'm gonna get this Image book. It's not a great cover.
That's fucking
Gary Frank doing Golden Age
Gary
Superman
Frank
fighting
is
a lion.
So awesome.
Fighting a lion.
I put money on the lion.
But Alish Kopp quitting after four issues is a huge bummer.
That one.
But I wish I was surprised, but I'm fucking
because it's fucking DC.
But however, okay, this is kind of a funny thing. The three books that I talked about are the three books by the only guys at DC who are allowed to write what they want. The two guys at DC, sorry. Scott Snyder and Jeff Johns. Jeff Johns was kind of the writer that really got me into superhero comics, and his Justice League this week was an example of why I love Jeff Johns' DC superhero comics. And meanwhile, Scott Snyder is just, again, one of the best talents in the industry. And for some reason, everyone is really, really responding to his creativity and to his work, and he's being allowed to really do it in Superman and in Batman, and they're actually allowed. It's just such a shame because there's so many creators at DC who would be able to achieve maybe not the same heights sales wise but at least creatively wise, I think. Anyway, there are a lot of really brilliant creators at DC,
but it's been
but
a long time since creativity was the priority at either Marvel or DC.
Such a fucking pain in the ass, and it sucks that I thought them hiring Alish Kopp was actually going to be like there's brains somewhere there in editorial that they're going to start hiring on these great new indie creators, and they kind of did, except he quit after four fucking issues. And the same happened.
Well, we don't know if he quit. He said he did. He definitely didn't quit, didn't he? His Alish Kopp's Tumblr message.
He just said thanks for the ride or whatever.
No, but he says like I worked hard. I killed all my deadlines, which means that he was right on time for every issue. Did a great job. So he wasn't saying.
Really?
The way he said I killed my deadlines. He doesn't say anything bad about DC, but the way he says I killed my deadlines means that he was handing in excellent work on time, like he was contracted to do, and they decided to go a different way. I don't know Alish Kopp, but when I read that, I'm like, well, it's pretty obvious.
He pitched a story, told a little bit of it.
It's pretty obvious
like
that they decided not to carry on with him, and so they just, not to say they fired him, but they replaced him. Well, yeah, so they fired him, but he's being classy about it. And again, I don't know for sure, but that's very much how it read to me when I read it.
Another thing that just, again, I'm on a DC high, but to bring it down a bit.
Bring it down!
I mean, you've got fucking Matt Kent working for you. And what is he doing? They're throwing him at random shit. He's writing Deadshot. He's writing Solomon Grundy. He's writing Harley Quinn. Why? In an interview, he's like, I don't know, my agent was just... Or my editor was like, do you want to do these? And I went, all right. Whatever. Sure. I mean, he's doing killer work in the backups of Justice League of America with Martian Manhunter. But instead, Kitana and Vibe get a series instead of giving one of the best writers in comics right now, like, a book that he would fucking kill at. But
I dream of a day where Image Comics is selling, has the market share of a DC, and DC has the market share of an Image. That would be awesome. But it's not going to happen. Well, that's going to wrap us up this week on I forgot. I'll just mention it. Batman 66 number 2, awesome.
Was it?
Catwoman's in it.
I forgot things. So I read about the Airmen too, and it was very fucking good.
Cool, cool.
The first or the second and third issues of High Crimes and didn't read them, so I bet they're good.
So yeah, so that's gonna be it this week. So don't miss next week where we do this again. Robbie G.
Hi.
Ryan Heff. And I'm Juggy Brodeltine, and we'll see you next week.
That's not your name.
And it's time for me to go away now.
It's time for us.
It's time
for me to
it's
time.
Time for us to close the book. I love you.
I don't know if that's a song.
It's from the House of Pooh TV series.
Ooh, that sounds.
There's a whole episode of Smodcast about it, making the theme song making Kevin Smith cry. It's really funny. Anyway, love you. Love you. Bye.
I know.
Classic.